Robert E. Chambers in a dying town. In the town of Ixt, people are getting diseased, going mad and dying. And nobody knows why. Robert decides the place sounds dangerous, but also maybe prime for plunder. He's a criminal. He's been having nightmares about this town of Ixt. A small, rundown town his family would pass through on the way to visit Aunt Bindler. Dreams of folks acting insane, killing folks, pissing on the street while howling. Dreams of hiding from people, wandering the streets, howling. Discovering human body parts as he snuck through the town. 10 a.m. Robert decides to drive up to Ixt and case the place out. After hearing a story about strange behavior reported there, he spends some time on the internet looking for some more information. The most interesting story was from a Western Kansas blog describing 3 murders in 1 week from a small town, population 780. An uneventful drive, but when Smith stops to get gas, pumping it in his car, and this guy comes out just screaming, raving, insane sounding. He has a gas can in his hand, and he's waving it violently. Cashier comes out telling him he's got to leave right now. The man splashes the cashier with the contents of the gas can. Some reeking black liquid. The cashier screams even louder than the maniac and stumbles inside. The crazy man hurls the can into the gas pump next to the one Robert is pumping gas from. The fumes are sickening, intense, dizzying. He runs off, gagging and coughing. What the hell is that stuff? Smells like some foul, rotting poison. Robert ran in a blind panic. The pump's still sticking in the car, but the flow was stopped when he let go of it. His car abandoned in panic to escape those toxic fumes. Robert E. Smith's hiding in a big hay barn, a half mile from town, freaking out. He calls his friend Jasper Bleakson to pick him up in Ixt as soon as possible. He babbled about what happened until his low battery warning came on. Robert makes himself stop using his phone. Only 18% battery remains. He waits hours for his friend, who texts him, saying he's almost too ixed, and they agree to meet near that gas station. ...3:40 p.m. There is a police officer on the scene. No sign of the madman. Robert's car is still parked at the pump. The officer asks if that's his car and demands his ID. He asks a lot of friendly questions about what Robert saw, and he answers them. Then he does the same with Jasper. But then he pulls out his handgun and tells them they're under arrest. They submit to the cuffings and they're put in a small cell the town has.
Our heroes are placed in the same cell by the smugly grinning police officer. Some people around here have been murdered, and suddenly a couple freaks with pass bust for marijuana possession show up. He chuckles and leaves the station. They're alone. The walls begin to breathe, pulsing slowly in and out. And they're freaking. Did they get slipped some drug somehow? The air feels dead. Somehow wrong. They try to work the locks open and get nowhere. ...4:12 p.m. The cop returns after searching the cars. Both of them had unregistered handguns in the car. Both of them had 1 to 3 grams of weed stashed with pipes. The cop lets them know he's taking both of these things for his own use, and now they're free to go. They leave and plan to stay out of this town. It's a 9-minute walk back to the cars. As the two are receding from that horrid town, something squishy rises up from the horizon to stare them down. Robert E. Smith folds instantly. His brain is popped. Babbling and pooping. His friend is badly freakified. Going down the road at full speed, nearly getting into multiple wrecks to get away from that impossibly huge face. Jasper is on the edge of losing everything. But he makes it back home. But Robert is a hopeless case, falling into a spiral of drug and alcohol abuse, unable to hold a job. He spends the next and last few months of his life on the street, finally freezing to death on a cold, bitter, cold night.